There'll be food and drink and ghosts, and perhaps even a few murders. You're all invited.
Welcome to Slumber Party Monsters, your comedy horror podcast. As always, I'm your host, Faith, and today we've got a new guest called Megan. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Megan. I don't know what else to say. I used to live in America, and now I live in the UK. So I'm from the zombie capital of the world, and I will let people guess where that is from.
We met each other through Keith, who runs MK Horror, and then we started talking about, well, we kind of rummaged through a local bookshop.
We went through absolutely every single DVD that was in some massive cage looking for gems, all of the horror gems.
Yes, the three DVDs, did you watch that film I suggested to you? Because you set a challenge to find the worst film for each other. Mine wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I have not watched it. I'm delaying it indefinitely, but one day. You know what will happen? One day the power will go, like, not the power, the internet will go out, and then I'll be like, oh yeah, forgot about that guy. That's probably what will happen.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, we talked about funny book titles, and it just kind of blossomed from there, really, in terms of friendship.
Yes, we are bonded forever by Fanny by Gaslight, which was not a horror book, but it made us giggle, and it turned out to be an absolutely fantastic book, I've got to say. So, you know, it's worth taking the gamble on things that amuse you.
Yes. Unfortunately, my dyslexic brain saw it as Gaslit by Fanny, and I thought, wow, that must have been damn good.
Well, you know, hey, it was not the book I was expecting, but yeah, people look it up. It's interesting. It's not horror related, but there is some definite, so a little bit of a link. And there's plenty of Fannies for all. In every type of fanny that you can think. There is that kind as well. So, you know, okay. All sorts of fannies. All sorts of fannies.
Oh, God. Soon you say the word fanny so often it's funny.
Yeah, but in your accent, it just sounds fancy. Oh, just, you know, fancy fanny. Where's that tongue twister? Where's the fancy fanny tongue twister? I suppose that doesn't exist.
Oh, God. I just love how fanny in the US means bum, whereas in the UK it's the opposite way around.
What a really polite way to put that.
Yes, your front to bottom.
The front bottom. It's just so, see, you guys say everything so nice. Even that, whereas ours, my accent just makes everything sound rough.
I don't know, I kind of like American accents.
Well, I mean, I guess you've probably been, everybody's been watching, well, at least related to this horror movies, most of your life. So you just kind of get desensitized to them.
Yeah. Yeah, after a while we do.
Yeah. Whereas I never get sick of all of the very nice European accents. Don't care about Brexit. Calling it Europe. I still feel like we're part of Europe. Deal with
Good.
It.
Well, yeah, this week's episode, once we finally get around to talking about it, it's...
Do we have to? Do we have to talk about this film?
Yes. Yes, we do. Because we watched it together. So.
We did. It's the only way we could get through it.
Yeah, I mean, you laughing at me when I kept jumping at random bits, which is funny enough. That was probably the most entertaining part of the film.
It was. This is why it's so good to watch films with other people, because you get to enjoy their reaction to them. And so even if it's with your friends or in the cinema of strangers, this is why I really enjoy watching stuff with other people. Because things that you react to, I might not react to. And then, yeah, I'll be amused. I'm easily amused. And then I'm amused by other people's reactions to stuff. So it's just a little bit more fun than sitting here watching it on your own in the dark, crying.
God. this week's episode is Night Swim, which came out in 20... It came out this year, didn't it? 2024.
It came out here this year, but I don't know when it came out in America. It might have came out at the same time. What a very odd timely film, though. So it's called Night Swim. It involves swimming, and you're releasing it in January, which is known for everyone desperately wanting to go swimming. Why? What terrible marketing was that?
They said it hadn't been used in 15 years. Maybe they weren't pool people.
I don't know. I mean, it's... Even from the trailer, you kind of looked at it and it was like, yeah, this is definitely a January horror film. They were like, yeah, we can't release this at any other time of the year.
is it because it was shit? They were like, well, we don't want this to compete. Well, it wasn't shit, but disappointing. They were like, well, we know we've got a clunker here, so let's throw it in January when nothing good is coming out, so rather than competing with something that's decent. Maybe that was their...
That is kind of like the January curse for horror films. It's just kind of like, yeah, just throw it in the first month of the year and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Everyone just will watch anything because they just want an excuse to get out of their house.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, well, it's swimming in January. No, that was... And everybody's wearing like shorts and t-shirt. Is anyone even wearing long sleeves in this film from what I can remember? It's all set in the summer. It's baseball, heavy baseball related, not a January sport. So as you can tell, we really enjoyed this film.
I mean, yeah, it's... Would I watch it again? Probably not.
No. I wouldn't go out of my way to avoid it. It was just humdrum. It was just meh. Walk out, mediocre. And shrug your shoulders. Yeah, mediocre. That's the way to do it. Just... Meh. I had to consciously sit here and try to remember what happened. It was that unmemorable.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a decent amount of it, but I've written down quite a few notes about the potential for certain themes in the film.
Yes, there was a lot of wasted potential and all, like, just very weird choices. Like, I remember when the film ended, I looked to you and I was like, why a film called Night Swim did so much take place during the day?
I think it's because this started out as a short film called Night Swim, and then it got adapted into a feature length.
Oh, right. The big pivotal, like, turning point, or, like, scene, for me at least, was they're having this neighborhood party. And that's sort of when the character sort of switches, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I was like, well, this is pivotal. Why in a film called Night Swim is this the pivotal point taking part during the day? But I guess what the hell else are you going to name the film? Probably weren't many other options.
Probably not. For anyone that doesn't know about this film, it's essentially about a family where the dad used to be a well-known baseball player, has developed MS, and they have to find a move house, find a suitable place where he can get decent medical care. And weird things start to happen in the swimming pool because some sort of wish monster resides within it.
See, this film never could have taken place here, because if to get adequate medical care and treatment, he could have just went to the NHS, and they would have funded adaptations to his property to make it suitable. But in America, the big old middle finger, fuck you guys, sort of sells out. So that's how it never would have happened here.
Yeah, actually. I mean, I don't know that much about MS, but it's the fact that I liked that they showed that within the film, like the kind of things that you actually, the medical aid that you need around the house, like the mother is literally installing hand rails on the stairwell to make it easier for him, and making sure like the swimming pool is like, actually safe for him to get into, like with the ladder and everything like that. And it's just like little touches like that. You don't really see that, things like that are usually skimmed in films.
Yeah, I agree.
If someone has like a medical issue, then it's literally like skimmed over.
Yeah, I like that part. And MS isn't something that's got a lot of representation either. So it was nice to see it. And it was shown not in necessarily negative light. Like I like the way that it's not that he was upset. At least I didn't feel that they get this. The MS wasn't viewed necessarily like negatively. It was the only way it was shown in a negative light was you weren't made to feel bad for him having MS. The way they linked it to it just meant that he couldn't do what he used to do career-wise. And it didn't make you sort of feel pity for him so much as like a person with MS. It was more just like, oh, well, that's shit. He can't play baseball at the level he used to play it at. So you saw the impact that the illness had on him, but it didn't mean that he still couldn't live a like fulfilling life. So that at least was a viewed in a positive way, which I took away from that. And his like desire to be well again wasn't linked to this disease is awful or anything like that, or I can't hug my children or anything. It was just more linked to him not being able to provide for the family, but they could have fleshed that out a lot more. It sort of made it feel a little bit, I don't know, superficial in a way, but then again, it's a horror movie. Yeah, I can't dig too deep into it for meaning. But yeah, it was overall, I thought that was very positive, but they could have taken it a little bit further.
Yeah. I mean, with him, the dad having a career in baseball, like his daughter wants to go on the swim team. So I guess that's a link for the dad and the daughter to be kind of like, they have something really big in common, so you can kind of help her with that. But because of his son, I think his son feels like he'll always be, like, I think his name's Elliot, will always be in his dad's shadow because he's not as sporty in a way.
Yeah. I didn't even pick up on that till you just said that the link of him and his daughter and the fact that he's getting like water therapy and he can sort of connect with the kids in the pool is actually pretty good. Yeah, I didn't even think about that till right now.
I noticed there was like quite a few things that could have been flushed out a bit more, like I've talked to a few friends about this. You know how people that are in documentaries or if kids are like, oh, I want to be like a football player, like a footballer, but they don't have a backup plan. Like, oh, what if you have like a spinal injury and you can't play football anymore? What are you going to do then? Or if you end up with like a broken shin, or you just, that your body essentially can't take the damage anymore, that what are you going to do? And you don't have any backup plan and you've literally got like, essentially start all over again. I wish I kind of went into that a little bit more, because I noticed that throughout the film, no one who he played baseball with, like not his coach, not any of his teammates, contacted him throughout the entire film.
Yeah, it's like they just forgot he existed as a human being.
Like, not even like a voice note, a text, like nothing.
Nothing. You're off the team. You've got this illness, which means you can't do what you used to do to provide for your family or the thing that you love. But you can't help us anymore, so fuck you, bye. Because I guess it's how the team. It's pretty shitty. You know what? Fuck the Milwaukee Brewers. Fuck them. Fuck them from now on. I'm not supporting that team. Not that I did. But, you know, fuck them. That's the moral of the story. That's what the people from Night Swim are trying to say. Everyone who plays for the Brewers are assholes.
But it just, I don't know, it's that one thing that I really like, stuck with me is the fact that really you get really close to these teammates. You travel all over the country with them. But, you know, no one asked, like, oh, how was your like, physical therapy going or anything like that? Like, literally nothing.
Yeah, you know what? They could have, that would have actually been a bit of an interesting plot point, was maybe to like have someone from the team visit him and then something happened to them in the pool. And that could have been a lot more interesting than say, oh, there's a neighborhood party. You know, there could have also been the neighborhood party. I think that actually probably would have been a lot better of a plot point than the local little league baseball team that sort of plays like you sort of uses that instead. Something that I like, I think it's a really good point. Something for me that I sort of didn't like was the fact that, I mean, this is probably me just reading too much into things, but there's the other family at the beginning who we're introduced to, and it's an Asian family, and the mom's like taken over by the evil pool spirit. Why is it that she wasn't strong enough to overcome it, but at the end this dad is? And I was kind of like, well, that's kind of shit. Why does it have to be? I don't know. That part didn't sit right with me. It's like, it just was so stereotypical. It's like, you know, I thought in 2024 we would be a little bit past the white man dad savior of the film. It might have been more interesting if they would have flipped it, maybe, or just, yeah, I just didn't dig that. It just seemed meh. I didn't, yeah, wasn't a fan of that bit.
Yeah, I mean, in the film, the daughter actually hits the dad with a baseball bat several times to, like, essentially make him, like, give him some form of physical pain to realise, oh, I'm actually doing this to my kids. Whereas the mother didn't. I think the mother was so, like, in the beginning scene, was so worn down because one child has a lot of medical issues. Maybe because she was so mentally and physically worn down as a result, maybe that's why she
where's the dad in that family?
I don't know. Maybe she didn't
just glossed over that.
Yeah.
My kids have seen things. And I'm worried something is happening to my husband.
Dad?
I've been looking for you.
There has to be some way to stop this.
Marco.
Elliot! Marco! 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 Marco!
The movie just is a horror movie, just wasn't really that scary either. I know there was a few jump scares, but nothing, it wasn't, I know I'm just some like some sort of torture porn person, but there was no gore. There was anything like, there was some violence, but there was nothing really all that horror-y in a way. Other than that little, like, there was the girl in the first family that we just talked about. She died. But what else horror-related happened? Can't even think.
The only other thing I can think of is literally, what was it, when the dad coughs up the black bile.
Oh, yeah.
And when the dad nearly, when the family, at the family barbecue, like, pool party, like the dad nearly drowns the kid.
Yeah, that's the part where it's like they could have brought in, you know, like had somebody else be the other kid, like a teammate or something, would have been more interesting. Also, come right when, so it's like a chicken scene in the pool party. So you've got two adults on the bottom holding two kids on their shoulders. I don't know, do you half chicken over here. Not that there's like, yeah, not there's like tons of poles everywhere.
We have a different name for it. I don't think it's chicken. I can't remember. I think it's literally just like water wrestling or something like that.
The other adult who was in the pool, like right with them playing in the pool. Don't you think you'd notice if, so like they're doing this scene. So they're doing some water wrestling, as we're going to call it. And the dad with the hero dad, I guess the I don't know, Mr. Baseball, has the other kid on his shoulders, and he goes into like the deep end, or like holds him down, right, and sort of goes into the deep end. What's with the other like adult who was standing like 6 inches away from them is all of a sudden like, oh, those guys disappeared into the pool, and then we're not gonna like, I think if I was standing in a pool and someone who was right next to me 3 seconds later is all of a sudden disappeared into the deep end or like hasn't come up, I think I'd notice that.
You would have thought so, yeah.
Because it's just, no one's that oblivious, surely.
Unless they just got really distracted, I don't know. I didn't actually think about that.
I'm just trying to find all the plot holes in this film. There's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wish that you knew about the two children, the brother and the sister. You don't really know that much about them before the film starts. You don't know like what their school lives were like before they moved to a new district, or like, I don't think any of their friends contacted them either.
No, it's just that this whole family ceased to exist to everybody who knew them beforehand. Also, it's hard for me to feel sympathetic to a family that can afford a pool. I would feel bad about like anybody who has MS or any sort of like crippling illness. But to the rest of them, I'm like, you know, it's hard for me to feel too much sympathy when you can afford a pool, and a lot of people right now can barely even afford to put food on the table, even in America. So it's a lot of the times I'm like, I can't suspend my sympathies incredibly far for a lot of these people, for like them or the other families. Like, yeah, that's awful that you've got some, I don't know, you can afford a house in the fucking pool. Like, what are you doing?
I know it was at, like, they said it was like a discounted price for it, but at the same time, like, they must have slapped on at least like another 20 grand just for the swimming pool alone.
Yeah. You know what? If it couldn't be that much cheaper. I mean, if you're going to give me the option of being able to have a property that someone was murdered in and it has a pool and it's super cheap because of said murder, pick up on that. That there's a massive, massive discount. But they didn't address that. Because they didn't find out about the little girl dying until after they had already... Did they bought or were they renting? I can't remember.
I think they would have bought it. I think they would have put like a down payment down for it ready. Because if you were renting the property, I don't think that... Like, I don't think the wife would literally be like drilling handrails into the walls if it was a rental property.
My landlord would probably not be. Well, you'd have to go through a whole sort of process. Why didn't they focus on that? Like, if they're renting, and like her filling out the application form to contact the landlord to drill holes in the property. Very different film. Very boring. Nobody would watch that clip for me. though at times that film would be more entertaining than this film that we watch. Watching someone fill out paperwork and contact their landlord to get adaptations to a property would possibly be more entertaining than some of these scenes that we sat through.
Yeah, because you'd feel like there's actually something at stake.
Yeah. Is she gonna, you know, get this? Can this man live in this property? This is actually a far more interesting film.
I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of ways that, like, there could have been like so many different ways for characters to be more developed in this film.
Yeah.
The big thing that I actually sat down and thought about today, the mother, the amount of shit she goes through in this film, like, I would have been fucking catatonic by the end of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that woman had to deal with.
Like, I would have expected a bit more like mental stress on her part, because not only has she got, she essentially becoming the breadwinner of the household, she's got her husband has a very debilitating illness. She has to find a house that's suitable for not only his medical needs, but also be able to get the kids to and from school easily.
Mm-hmm.
Training for a new career.
Yeah.
Making sure that, like, things run smoothly within the property itself. So at least it's kind of like, if you're not in the house and your partner has, like, an accident or anything like that, at least they've got, like, precautions in place as well.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but finding out that you've got a fucking wish demon as a inhabitant of your swimming pool. I would be, like, literally, by the end of the film, I'm surprised that she's not, like, in absolute hysterics.
Just sitting in the corner of the yard, just rocking back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. Like your husband's literally attacking your kids because it's possessed by the wish demon, essentially. You got one kid that's literally like got like getting the shit kicked out of her by the dad around the house. You're trying to make sure that your son hasn't drowned because it's been dragged into the water.
The trauma that these kids are going to have as well. Like, oh, my dad, like, we won't even get into that. We won't. Well, there's not enough time in the evening to get into that. All that, those issues that those kids are going to have. Goodness me. But yeah, the mom, like, and they just sort of glance over that. That she's meant to, at no point does she have any sort of even tilt onto any sort of breakdown. She's got all of that weight on her shoulders. And she's got, like you said before, two, like, teenage-ish, well, the one's definitely a teenager. I don't know how old the boy is, but at least preteen, maybe. Changing schools. That alone, as a parent, I would imagine, would be, you know, you got to support your kids through that, plus everything else. And we're not even going to think of or address all of that stuff that she's got to deal with.
Well, plus finding out that someone's child died
like
15 years previously, and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just go confront that mom whose kid died in the pool. I'm sure. What a terrible fucking idea that was. Like, there is no way. Oh, well, I don't have any kids, but I could not see going to confront or inquire. I just moved. Into a new property. If I found out somebody died here and there might be something shady going on this property. So, like, I'm looking at this fireplace that I've got here, right? So let's say that the previous tenant, somebody died in this fireplace or something. Like, there's a wish demon and you, like, stick your head in the fireplace and something fucking ridiculous like that. I would not then go and confront the mother whose child died previously and start asking a shit ton of questions. What are you doing? Who the fuck would do that? And do you think this mother has enough, like, time to go do this? Like you said, she's got to make sure the house is suitable. She's got her husband, who's got this illness. She's going to make sure her kids are all right. She's got her new job. How does this woman not sleep? How does she have time to go and confront this other mother and think that's a good idea? Oh, I know. I'll just go ask some stranger about their kid who died 15 years ago. That sounds like a great idea.
That does happen in a lot of horror films where someone finds out, oh, the property I live on, someone's child died here, or the husband or wife died here. I need to find the survivor of the situation and go confront them and ask them questions.
Yeah.
But it's such a big trope in horror films.
What a fucking idea? Why? Like, what? Like, surely by now these writers have got to be more creative to come up with a different way to get this information that the audience needs to like continue the story. There is no way the average person would go ask a stranger about a relative's death. Like, it's such a bad idea. Like, who the fuck would do that? It's fine. I can think that, you know what's actually more believable? The fucking witch demon. The witch demon in living in a pool is more believable than a person going and confronting a stranger about a loved one's death. I'm more inclined to believe a witch demon lives in the pool or this fireplace that I'm looking at.
I think it would have been more interesting if the mother had gone to the son of,
yes,
like, the first family. If she had gone to him and asked, like, what happened, and then seen, like, a photo of him next to his sister with him, with, like, all the medical equipment near him, and then kind of, like, her trying to figure out what happened there. That would have been more interesting.
I agree. And because they mentioned, the previous owner, tenant, they mentioned that she talks about her son being, like, the equivalent of, like, a UN ambassador or something. Does he, like, help out, like, poor people in Africa or something like that, like, feeds like, the hungry or something. I remember saying Africa. That would have been far more interesting to her if she would have went, well, they could have made him some sort of politician or something, where she like, the mom could have connected the names and been like, oh, wait, he's now, you know, oh, these were the tenants or the homeowners. Well, yeah, I recognize that name. He's like a U.S. senator. Isn't he our governor or something like that? And yeah, could have went down that route and talk to him that way rather than go and confront the mom. I mean, we could have written a better movie.
I mean, we would have sat down and kind of got, like, if they had given us, like, the script and said,
yeah,
right, we want you to play this out in front of us so we can understand the context of the scene, and we will pick it apart and tell you why it doesn't work.
Yeah, there was a lot of potential in this, like you said, with the guy having MS. We could have flushed that out a bit more. They could have. I'm not one of those people who needs a massive backstory. Like, I don't need a prequel. I don't need an origin story for everything. So I will give it that you just sort of know that it was, I don't know, some sort of like hot spring or something, some sort of like wellness retreat or something back in the day, and the little wish demon lives there, comes from there or something. Fine with that. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to know how the wish demon came to be.
But yeah, there's a lot of potential for how this could have gone. Like, so many different angles, like the son being quite timid and feeling like he's always going to be his dad's shadow. The daughter trying to be okay with, like, getting back into the water after she got attacked,
yeah,
in the swimming pool. The mother pretty much trying not to have a mental breakdown for trying to hold everything together. The angle of, like, the loneliness of being, like, someone that's, like, work that's within sports and then has, like, no contact with anyone from that side of his life, and then starting over again. Like, there's just so many different ways that this could have gone, and it took none of them, and it was just so mediocre as a result.
It actively chose to look at those and went, no, thank you. We'll go in a very bland direction. Why put forth an effort into any of those?
Exactly. The best way I can describe this film is literally, it went for a fart and it had a shit by accident.
Yes. Yep. 100%.
Scared of me. Why do you keep me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
It's not something that I would be like, avoid at all costs. It's not that, but I wouldn't waste my money or time on it. somewhere in between.
Yeah, it's kind of like, if you want to do like a film study on something about like films that had potential, this would definitely be on that list. Yeah. Or if you like sat down and looked at, I mean, I would absolutely love to do an episode based on like comparing like the short film compared to the feature length. I'd love to do an episode based on that, because I think this would be quite good on there, because the short film worked, whereas this film, the feature length was dragged, and they just didn't really, it seems as though they kind of had like the short story in mind, but they just kind of like slapdashed an extra story on top and just extended it with a completely different family. And it's like, really?
I didn't even know that it was based on a short film until you said that earlier. Or maybe you might have mentioned that at the cinema. But yeah, that would be very interesting to compare the two. How short is the short film?
It's literally like probably, it's under 5 minutes, I think.
Oh, wow. Well, that's probably a better film. By far than this. Probably better use of everyone. So, just go watch that. That's the moral of this episode. Don't watch the film, just go watch the short version. Sometimes shorter is better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sorry, I'll keep giggling at that.
That's the tagline of the episode. Sometimes shorter is better. Not every time, but sometimes.
Yeah.
In this instance.
Oh, God. I mean, there's a lot of films where it's kind of like, there was a short film, but they've decided to extend it into a feature length, like Smile, which came out, I think it was last year? Like, that was originally a short film, and then it got made into a feature length. But that works. Like, they actually put a lot of effort into, like, building the storyline.
Was Talk to Me a short film as well?
I don't think so.
Oh, no, maybe those guys just made a short film. I think maybe they just made a short film beforehand, and that's what got them the funding or something like that. Unknown.
I can't remember now. I mean, I know that Soul was originally a short film, and that's how they got the funding for it, by like publicity and people being like, oh, let's watch this because it's really interesting.
But no one was demanding. Who the hell was demanding a long version of this?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I guess I should have watched the short film before this. But now it's tainted and I can't.
There was just so much potential. I think that's why I feel a bit disappointed by it. It's the fact that it could have gone so many different ways and it chose none of them. And it's like, really?
I guess we now, neither of us have kids, but I guess now we know what it feels like to be disappointed in like something that had a lot of potential. This must be how my parents feel. Just disappointed. So much potential. What happened?
I wish I could say that too, but like, my parents actually, not just my parents, but like a lot of people I went to school, like a lot of teachers actually said, we think you'll struggle with your education because of your dyslexia. And because I was very quiet. Like I was one of those people that really, you wouldn't realise I was in the room until I was standing right next to you kind of thing.
Oh, well, you insured them.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's kind of like, oh God, even my mum sort of said, yeah, we thought you'd struggle the most with your education. And I was just there like, fucking hell, mum.
Damn, mum, fucking harsh. You're the opposite of this film, is what we've just realised. You've exceeded your potential. You're like, no, fuck all Ian. I'm gonna, you're the, yeah. You showed them what's up. Well, there we go. There we go. This film is a self-esteem boost for you because you're the exact opposite of it.
Yay!
Let's take that away.
Okay. Thank you. I needed that little confidence boost, actually.
I got you.
But yeah, it's just like, oh God, I was always told early on that really, yeah, we don't think you get very far with a lot of things. Like, pretty much, like, a week before we were going to break up from school, from GCSEs to move to our A-levels, a week before we were meant to break up, I was told, we don't think you could handle the workload. And essentially said, we're not going to let you do it.
Nonsense. Not even to be like, hey, give it a go. Let's see how you get on with it.
No.
What's wrong with people? What the fuck is wrong with people? Maybe that's the, like, American side of me. It's like, no, give it a shot. Do your best. Over here, they're just like, nah, fuck it, you failed before you even tried, why bother? It just shows the difference.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So an asshole.
Yeah, I still remember that day. I literally went to my science lesson afterwards and started crying at my desk.
Dickheads. Well, you've shown them all now. Like, no. just point to this film and be like, well, at least I ain't this.
Yeah. At least I'm not mediocre.
Exactly. Somebody should have told these guys they shouldn't do this. Don't even try it. Then you get this result.
Like, bitch, I'm the fucking rainbow. This movie is fucking beige.
That's the best way to describe that. It's fantastic. Well, I mean, there's nothing else. Nothing's going to beat that.
No, I think we have to end this here, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to get any better.
No. Oh, God.
Let's end it before I say something stupid and ruin it.
I hope everyone enjoyed that episode as much as me and my guest. You can like, share, subscribe. You can also leave us a comment, join our Patreon. You can always send us suggestions for episodes or franchises. If you're interested, our Patreon is £3 a month. You get extra episodes, seasonal ones and franchise ones as well. So I hope everyone enjoyed themselves and we'll see you in the next one.